So, you want to know what on earth is happening? Then sit back and listen as this guy next door speaks. But first, here's a short audio clip from a film to help set the tone for this show.
Once, man and those in the water were linked. They inspired us. They spoke of the future. Man listened, and it became real. But man does not listen very well. Man's need to own everything led him deeper into land. The magic world of the ones that live in the ocean and the world of man separated. Through the centuries, their world and all the inhabitants of it stopped trying. The world of man became more violent. War upon war played out as there were no guides to listen to. Now, those in the water are trying again, trying to reach us. A handful of their precious young ones have been sent into the world of man. They are brought in the dead of night to where man lives. They need only be glimpsed, and the awakening of man will happen. But their enemies roam the land. There are laws that are meant to keep the young ones safe, but they are sent at great risk to their lives. Many do not return. Yet still they try to help man. But man may have forgotten how to listen.
And that was an audio clip from the 2006 film, The Lady in the Water, directed by M. Night Shyamalan. And you're listening to Guy Next Door Speaks. I'm your host, Ivan from Phoenix. And today is Thursday, February 19, 2015. And this is episode number 7 of the Guy Next Door Speaks show. And this is going to also be part 2 of the Truth Mind Reality series. All right. And let's see. Why did I open up the show with that audio clip? It's pretty self-evident that that's kind of a hint as to what a lot of the truth speakers out here are trying to do, wake up the rest of humanity. But like the clip says, references, man has forgotten how to listen. And that goes along the lines of a lot of what the researchers and truth speakers come across, that the truth is out there, the information is out there, but a lot of people refuse to look for it or even look at it or acknowledge it. So that explains why we are where we are. Okay, let's see, moving along. Said today is February 19, and let's see, a couple of event announcements. The Free Your Mind 3 conference is quickly approaching. It's in the beginning of April, April 10th, 11th, and 12th, and we're almost to the end of February. And that's going to be held in Longhorn, Pennsylvania at the Sheraton Bucks County Hotel. For information about speakers and ticketing information and all that stuff, you can visit the freeyourmindconference.com for all the necessary details. All right. And then as far as meetups here in Phoenix, Arizona, I have two tentatively scheduled meetups for film screenings in theaters. And that's utilizing the gather.com services. And that's a online service that lets you watch films in theaters. And that basically works where you select the film online. They have a bunch of movies that they offer, and you select the movie online, and then the date and theater you'd like to see it. And if they get enough RSVPs, they usually need anywhere from 50 to 60 RSVPs. That's basically reservations, buying tickets online. Then that green lights the showing of that film, and then that film will be shown at the theater that you selected. So I have two films that I put up there to try and show, both of them documentaries. One of them is called Tricked, and it's about the sex slave and human trafficking going on in the U.S. or globally. And the other film is called Trace Amounts, and that's a documentary film about immunization shots and vaccinations with mercury and autism and all that kind of stuff. So those are two films that I have slated for mid-March. Yeah, mid-March is what they're scheduled for. So for any more information regarding that, you can visit the website, freeyourmindaz.com, and I have a link to the meetup on there. And or you can go directly to meetups.com and type in Free Your Mind AZ and look us up that way. All right, and let's see what else. It's been a couple of months, well, about a month or two since the last podcast. So like I mentioned before, these things I will just do whenever it's convenient or whenever the time permits. So here we are. We're doing the second part to the Truth Mind Reality series. So I'm going to just do a quick little recap from the first part. In that first part of the series, I talked about the difference in words, and also I introduced the concept of helpers. So you can always just go back to that first episode and listen to that. There were a few things, though, that did occur when recording that. The recorder had stopped, and I guess I lost my flow, if you can call it that, because there was I've listened to the episode a couple of times, and I can tell from where it dropped and where I picked up again, my thoughts were different. I lost my flow, so I noticed it because I knew what happened. So, you know, so I don't think that episode came out as powerful or as, you know, as I intended. But hopefully with this one, I can smooth it out and, you know, finish things up and get most of the concepts out there. And hopefully another episode or two after this, I can have a couple of guests here or there. So, but anyway, recapping, like I said, that first part of the Truth, Mind, Reality series, the difference in words, I was focusing on definitions that come from the dictionary and then the etymological composition of a word, how the etymology of a word tends to keep the meaning of the word, the intention of the word, purer or stronger than a definition that's defined in a book by men trying to explain things. So that can get convoluted, you know. It can get well, I mean this, I thought this, I thought that. And you notice that in dictionaries you do have, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 different definitions, you know, for one word. So where's the etymology when you break it down, the root of the word, where it comes from? That's the simplest way. Like, again, anarchy, anarchon. So an without archon, ruler. So no ruler. That's it. Simple as that. So that forms the word. Government, govern, control, ment, mind, control the mind. That's it. So that gives you a clean-cut definition or meaning to words when you use the etymological origin. So that was what I brought up with what I wanted to focus on as far as difference in words. And then the other part was the introduction to the concept of helpers. And helpers, I'm trying to get the ball rolling here, or to plant the seeds for helpers coming to mean in a societal sense, human evolutionary lead person, emergency response services. Now, lead, I'm not talking about leaders like president, politicians, and, you know, that kind of thing. Leader kind of, you know, a leader can be someone who grabs you by the hand when you're in a dark cave and you don't know where to go, and this person knows where the exit is, can lead you out of the darkness into the light. That type of lead person. All right. So that's what I mean with that human evolution. Again, evolution of humanity to live one day to the next, also to evolve our way of thinking, our, you know, paradigms, our beliefs, you know, our knowings, what we know. So all that, we need people who have already learned this or know about this and can lead the rest of the people, or majority of the people, or a critical mass amount, a quantum amount of people in this direction to change things. And then emergency response services, again, the emergency is that people are devolving, not evolving. So obviously that emergency, we need a response to that emergency of devolution, all right? And that's what helpers, I would suggest, can be intended for. All right, so that's a quick little recap of the first part. Now, introducing my little introduction for the Truth, Mind, Reality series part two. This is something I missed. I forgot to add on in the last one, but again, it works out fine because I can use it to introduce the second part. First, I'm going to read a quote from a film called The Imitation Game. There's a line that was repeated a couple of times in the film that was subtle but yet profound. And this is something that embodies my intention, or what I like to get across with this second part of the series. And there's also going to be a little audio clip I will play after I read this. But here's the quote from The Imitation Game. Sometimes it is the people no one imagines anything of who do the things no one can imagine. Okay? So let me repeat that in case you missed it. It's pretty profound. Okay, here we go. Sometimes it is the people no one imagines anything of who do the things no one can imagine. All right? So that's basically the little person, the person who doesn't have a college degree, who isn't a millionaire or billionaire, the person who is not the CEO of a huge corporation or a president or a prime minister or king or queen, a person who isn't handsome, who isn't muscular, strong, who doesn't drive the fancy car. It could be a person, this is a person who might be homeless, maybe might be scarred, was in an accident, might be burnt up, someone who people can't look at, someone who might never have been properly educated, quote unquote educated, so they have a limited vocabulary maybe, all right, a person who, you know, just someone we really don't want to, by society standards, someone that society tends to shun and put aside and think nothing of. And these people might sometimes be the ones who see things differently and have a thought or idea or the seed for something that can be globally revolutionary, can really change things, where all the mathematicians, all the scientists are over here, you know, coming up with bullshit. It might just be a simpleton living up in the mountains or off the farm or something, or off the street, who sees clearly a solution that no one else, you know, saw. So that's what stood out for me regarding that quote. So once again, let me repeat it. Sometimes it is the people no one imagines anything of who do the things no one can imagine. All right. Now, along that same line, there is a quote also from the film Lady in the Water That happens, a little, about 30 minutes into the film or so, 30, 40 minutes in. But I will go ahead and play that audio clip. It's only about a minute or two. And listen to the dialogue. Again, think of the quote. Listen to that dialogue. And then I will come back and explain. You know, it's pretty much the same thing as the quote. So here we go. It's a little audio clip from the film Lady in the Water. And again, these audio clips are used for educational purposes, okay? So in case somebody tries to do some copyright infringement or something, there's no profit being made here. This is just for educational purposes, all right? So here's the audio clip.
I don't know who you are, but you did something to me. My thoughts. Everything became clearer. The fears that were muddling my thoughts just went away. I can hear myself.
Do you wish to know your future? A boy in the Midwest of this land will grow up in a home where your book will be on the shelf and spoken of often. He will grow up with these ideas in his head. He will grow into a great orator. He will speak, and his words will be heard throughout this land and throughout the world. This boy will become leader of this country and begin a movement of great change. He will speak of you and your words. Your book will be the seeds of many of his great thoughts. It will be the seeds of change.
And that was another audio clip from the film Lady in the Water. And in that audio clip, talks about the seeds of change. That's the last thing that she says there, is that his words, the words that he wrote in a book that probably didn't sell too well or nobody really cared about, it's just a book sitting on a shelf, somebody's shelf, and the family, you know, talks about that book once in a while, and then the child, the son of that family, is raised hearing these ideas and concepts mentioned in this book, and that formulates this child's thinking. And as this child grows to adult, he becomes a orator, someone who can speak and express his ideas. And the ideas and concepts that he puts out there are ideas and concepts that he picked up from this book. And this book is written by a guy who just, you know, lives in an apartment building with his sister and is just trying to write a book and just put it out there. See, so no big, it's not someone in a position of power or authority or, you know, someone who Hollywood glamorizes or stuff like that. It's just your regular everyday person that has some ideas, puts it in a book, and that's it. And that becomes the seeds of change. So my reason for mentioning that and putting that on here is to show how this podcast can be a seed of change. A lot of the other podcasts you listen to may contain seeds of change. Many of the YouTube videos you watch contain seeds of change. A lot of the documentaries, some of the lectures, some of the presentations, you see. So even though a lot of this is not on mainstream media, you don't see this on NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, you don't see it in theaters, you don't see a lot of this. A lot of this doesn't have the spotlight shining on it. So since it's not in the mainstream, a lot of people don't know this exists. Yeah, there are people who know of this, but remember, the critical mass, we take numbers. The population is supposedly around 7 billion on this planet. And can we honestly say that the half of that 7 billion, about 3.5 billion, know this information, are aware of this information, live this information, incorporate this information into their everyday lives? we can safely say no, because if they were, things would be different, and things are not different. So that's my point with that audio. All right, now moving on. Now I'm gonna begin part two of the Truth, Mind, Reality series, and the second part. Depending if time permits, I want to try and just do about another hour. Right now we're about 17, 20 minutes in, and if I'd like for this to fit on a CD, hour and 20 minute CD, then I only have about an hour or so. So if I speed through this, I might be able to get it in here, and just the Truth, Mind, Reality series can just be two parts. But if not, then I would, you know, end up doing a third part. All right, so moving along now, this Truth, Mind, Reality series part two, and this is going to go deeper than conventional thinking. The second part, like I mentioned earlier, the first part dealt with breaking down, you know, the difference in words and introducing helpers. Now the second part, it's going to get kind of touchy probably with some people, especially people with money, people who have money, because life is good, supposedly. If you have money, hey, things are good, right? So this second part, it's still connected. All these parts are connected, all right? And if you hear me kind of stumbling like this, it's because I have notes written down in sentence form, and I'm trying to read the sentence and then just formulate it into my idea. So just bear with me, all right? So again, since this is Truth, Mind, Reality, we're trying to get at the truth. And we know that there are lies that have been sold to us, or that the masses have bought as truth. And therefore, we have the reality that we have based on lies. All right. So this is the main core of this section right here, is money. Okay. Now, money, I'm breaking down into everything that it touches. Working, jobs, employment. These are all necessary parts in maintaining the slavery system. All right. Now, some people will say, might not agree with that, and some people will fully understand what I'm saying, that money is the main slavery tool. All right. And how does this work? Through working, through jobs, through employment, and through buying and selling. Okay, everything deals with money. Now, one thing I figured out, and this goes back to mid last year, last summer around June, July, I went about a week or two without eating any meat or drinking any soda, so my thinking process was clearing up. And for some reason, I guess for that reason, I was getting all these ideas, all these thoughts. I was looking at things differently, and I was getting all these ideas. And so I just recorded them on my phone as they would come. And some of the ideas that I got, or realizations, you can call them, that I got, was that the purpose of money is to replace the provider. And what do I mean by that? Everyone works, has a job, or tries to get money so they can be a good provider, right? That's an important term that I rarely hear mentioned in the truth movement, or in the freedom movement, or in these conspiracy researchers, all right, as providers. All right, everyone wants to be a provider. Everyone, women are looking for men to be a good provider, or women, independent women, are doing things. They're independent because they provide. And what do they provide? It's money, right? The lie, the illusion has become that the more money you have, the better you are of a provider, because you can buy the necessary food, you can buy the clothing, you can buy or pay for or provide or buy, use money to have the shelter, all right? And the lifestyle, the way of living is better. You're a better provider based on the amount of money that you have or that you make. That right there, that's the illusion, is that money has become the tool for providing, when the actual importance should be on providing itself. That's the key, I would suggest. All right, let me see what I got here. A person no longer simply provides. Money is what provides. It's reverse thinking. It's backwards. We need to remove money. Okay? We need to do activities which provide, not work for money to provide. If that makes any sense. And this is something that I had a little discussion or argument with sometime last year at a meetup, where some guy accused me of being one of those who wants, you know, something for nothing. Like if that was a bad thing. In the monetary system or society, in the way things are now, that would be looked at as a bad thing. So no more something for something mentality is what I put down here. All right. Something for nothing is not bad. It is in the natural order of things. Okay. Because the trees, everything in nature gets what it requires without having to work for it, pay for it. There's not an exchange. You understand? Everything in nature, like the trees, just the water flows. If there's no water, they don't grow. But the water comes, you know, and they grow. They extract the minerals, whatever, from the soil, and they grow. And they produce their leaves, and they put out their, you know, photosynthesis, you know, the air that we breathe. We're not paying for that. The earth, we don't, you know, the earth itself, the light that it receives from the sun, it doesn't pay for that, doesn't work for that. It's simply just the sun emits that light, okay, those rays, the earth receives it, the earth processes it, does with it what needs to be done. The plants and you know, everything else on the earth just does what it needs to do with what it gets. But we're the only ones that have created a system that to get our food, clothing, and shelter, we need to give something for that. And that's the problem. And that has become the controlling tool, is money and this whole concept of working. And here's something I noticed, the way I perceived this, and I think it's more of a alignment. This perception is an alignment to truth. I mentioned before stuff about in one of the previous podcasts about going to a theater and seeing the person behind the counter running a program of bringing the you know, popcorn, soda, and things like that. Now, you take that and any other buying and selling function, that's a form of slavery. There's slavery. The transaction of slavery is occurring there. Master-slave exists there. And some people will say, no, that's capitalism. That's making money. That's buying and trading. That's economics. Da, da, da. Economics, capitalism, all that is code for slavery. And why do I say this? I say this because the person behind the counter, the one being employed, or the server, the servant, the person there selling you things, that person is in the position of the slave. And you being the customer are in the position of the master. Why? Because you have the money. So what's that saying that we hear all the time? The customer is always right. See? So that's a mindset that whatever the customer, you're the buying guy, person, you're the one with the money, so what you say goes. You they have to conform or provide, you know, do things to your liking, to your wishes. And if they don't, what happens if a person behind the counter gives you lip or doesn't want to do what you want them to do? They get fired, right? They're not a good slave. They're not obedient. They're not following orders. Now, here's the flip side of it. This is where the mind control of this whole slavery thing being cool comes into place. But that person behind the counter, they're working, serving you, okay? Being your slave. And you pay, and you get what you want. Now, that person behind the counter, when they punch out, or when they're off the clock, they have their money, and now they go to someplace else, and they become the master. Because you see what I'm saying? They leave their job and they go someplace else and they go buy something. So now they're the master and whoever's there is the slave. And the same cycle continues, you see? So this whole thing about When we hear and politicians saying we're creating, we need to, you know, creating jobs, we need to, you know, keep our economy going, we need to, what's the one that really gets me? I think that was it. The one about our way of life. We need to protect our way of life. Our way of life is keeping the slavery system intact, keeping this people with the money, people without the money, and the people doing things for that money. Slavery, working. That's it. That's the way I see it. And that's, I would suggest that is a clearer perception of the truth, because that does, nowhere in there does that really come down to being a provider. Now this is what I mean by provider. You know, a father or a mother, they want to provide for their children. So instead of, do they actually provide the food, the clothing, and the shelter? Not directly. There's something in between there that for them to provide that. And that's the money. That's the proxy. So that becomes the all-important thing. See, instead of providing actual food without having to deal with money, you know, instead of providing clothing without money, that right now in this society is almost impossible. There's that mentality of, you know, something for something. You got to get something for that. No, it can be something for nothing. It's just a provider. And now if we take this even bigger, let me go to my notes here. Okay, like in reality, athletes and actors do not provide value. They only provide distraction or entertainment. It's a false value or false importance. Here's where the true value lies. The true value or importance are providers, okay? And those providers are people like plumbers, electrical workers, people in the food industry, okay? Fabrics manufacturers for clothing, manufacturers of building materials for shelter. And what do I mean by that? Those people actually provide something of value, of importance, of necessity. So an athlete, an actor, you know, lawyers, judges, politicians, these people don't actually provide or produce something of value, okay? But yet these are the ones who make the highest amount of money, right? The actors, the athletes, the politicians, okay? People who scribble things down on paper, that doesn't really provide anything. Now, the ones who do provide, I'm pretty sure if we had no water in our homes and toilets backed up and, you know, not being able to shower, we would really value a plumber who can, you know, get the water to our home and be able to have our sewage system working. An electrician, if we didn't have electricity in our homes, where we couldn't stay cold in the summer or warm in the winter, if we weren't able to use some technologies like electric ovens or stoves to cook our foods, or refrigerators to keep food fresh. You see, the electricians come in real handy, right? They're real important. So those are real providers. Clothing, people who manufacture clothing. But yet we see these slave workshops, right, where people get paid crap, where they're the ones making our shoes, making our socks, our pants, our shirts, our clothing, our jackets, right? But they get paid crap, but yet the owners or the CEOs of these companies, these quote-unquote name brand companies, they're the ones with all the money when they actually don't produce or provide anything. They're not real providers, in my opinion, the way I see it. That's more of my perception aligning to truth. If you really look at it, if you're, as we hear all the time, if we're being honest with ourselves, that's the truth of the matter, right? Construction workers, okay, they don't get paid the mega, you know, millions, but yet our homes, our buildings, they wouldn't exist if it weren't for them. Or people in the street, the ones who lay down the roads, All right, we can be driving on dirt roads, fine, but I'm pretty sure we enjoy a nice smooth ride when you're driving, you know, 1, 2, 3 hours long distance from one city to the next or something, right? But yet these guys that do the actual work, that provide that, we look at them like, eh, you know, they're the pittance. And even, you know, where I really noticed this, if we look at the fast food industry, okay, if we're some of the unfortunate people that eat, you know, fast food, the Wendy's, McDonald's, KFC, all that stuff, we know that those people earn basically minimum wage at those jobs, but yet they are real providers. Those people are keeping us alive. Maybe not healthy, you know, let's keep it real. They're the one, you know, they probably are just giving us crappy food, but they don't know they're giving us crappy food. But the thing is that majority of the people live off this food. And if it wasn't for these people that worked at these fast food industries, they'd have to go somewhere else to find food. And if they don't know how to cook or get food for themselves, they'd be dying. So these people, that young girl, that guy, whatever, that works at the fast food place that hands you your food, that is a provider. That person is of real value. You see, that has a purpose. Now, we can get into later on down the lines changing what they're serving. See, that's where things can get better. If instead of serving GMO food and, you know, crappy, you know, meat and all this stuff, if we had at every corner a fast food place, but that they served fruits, vegetables, salads, healthy food, okay, then that would start changing things. Then their value system would really, you know, increase. But, you know, for the example I'm giving, that's what I mean, is people who provide. And that's the distraction. That's where we're at now, is that we confuse a provider with someone who brings in money. And that's what needs to go. It's this money thing. All right. Now, let me see. Providing becomes the new purpose of daily activities, not income earning. Okay. And that's what it is. Daily activities, we call that working. We need to have a job. We need to earn a living. No, you don't. You're living, period. You're alive. Okay. There's nothing to earn. All right. You need to provide or have stuff provided to you, but we don't need to do everything ourselves. And what I mean by that is, I don't need to make my own, excuse me, I don't need to make my own clothing, my own home, I don't need to grow my own food. I can do that if that's something that I'm inclined to do, if something I enjoy doing. And this is, let me see. Okay, here, this is along the lines of one of my next notes. Do what we love to do, not only what needs to be done. Daily activities should be looked forward to, not despised or resented. Okay, and that is, if we got more people doing daily activities, that means less time doing daily activities by individuals. That equals more freedom. All right, so what I mean by that is, if we have, right now, the way the job system is, people are, you take one person and try and milk them for as much as you can for 8 or 10 hours a day. So you only pay one person. All right. So that's one person doing a job, whereas, or doing a daily activity. If we want to push it to daily activity, which is growing food or producing materials for a home or for clothing, things that are necessary, we take that one person and they don't need to be working 8 or 10 hours by obligation. You see, we're trying to fill an amount of time. You see, how many times at a job do we see that the job, the purpose, has already been done after 2, 3, 4 hours, but then you got to make up stuff to keep them busy, quote unquote busy, for the remainder of the day. You see, that's making stuff up to keep people busy, so that to keep them employed, to justify them getting their money, their pay. All right, there's that whole messed up concept. Now, if you take people and have them do activities that they might be interested in or enjoy doing, like growing food or cooking or sewing or manufacturing clothing, or men who might like building things like cars, automotive pieces, using technology for that, or constructing homes. You don't need to block it off where that one person or this one group of people have to do that one thing for 8 hours or 10 hours a day. That right there is what is, how do we call it now? The employment, it's a low employment rate, right? The low rates of employment, not too many people have jobs. Why? Because we have it where it has to be 8 or 10 hours. Now, if you take a group of people and they only have to be doing a daily activity for 2 or 3 hours, okay, and then they leave, and then another group comes in for another 2 or 3 hours, now you just have more people doing a daily activity, contributing, having a purpose, or providing, okay, and now the same stuff is being done. You're still getting the products out there. You're still getting the cars made, the food grown, the clothing manufactured, the housing, homes built, and all this stuff, right? But you have more people doing it for less amount of time, okay? So instead of having 100 people work 40 hours a week, you might be able to now have 500 people work for, you know, maybe 5 or 10 hours a week. Short work week, only work 2 days a week or something for a few hours, and they feel more free. They'll be more freer to live their lives. Okay, now that I know this is completely out in left field for people, and this shows the lack of creativity of people's mindset. They're stuck in the money thing. Well, you got need to get some, you know, something for something. You can't get something for nothing. And that's why we're at where we're at right now. Is this false belief that the only way that things need to function is to work for money, to make it a job, to be employed, keep this economic structure going. See, that's the main problem, what I've noticed. All right. Now, let's see, another note I have here. It means that the paradigm of money making the world go round needs to end. Okay. True freedom and equality will come about when money is no longer the biggest religion. When doing the right thing is no longer condemned, frowned upon, or considered a sign of weakness. All right? So now to get there, right and wrong needs to be taught. Natural law needs to be taught. Okay? And this will be one of the major tasks of the helpers. All right? Because people don't know this. They're not going to get this taught through their governments, through religions, or through school. All right? Now, this is stuff that people are going to have to learn through the helpers. And what are helpers there for? For human evolution. All right? And that's what we need. Society, people right now, they're stuck. They're not evolving. They're devolving. All right? Or you know, just buying more and more into this, that it's money, 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 when we see that doesn't really do anything. What do we see all the time when there's a hurricane or flooding or an earthquake? All right? Asking for people to send more money. Send money and help the relief efforts. Like, wait a minute, why send money? Money doesn't do shit. Why not send the food, the water, the clothing, the materials, the medicines? See, send the actual thing, the actual provide what's necessary, not provide a proxy, because then if the people don't have the money, they can't get what they need. See, so it's that whole mindset is what has us stuck, and that's where we need to get away from. And that's why I would suggest some of the truth speakers that I listen to, or some of their information, they're in the right direction, but they don't go all the way, because they still believe, or they still talk about working or doing a job, you know, and still somewhat of the monetary system, or, you know, they fear or are dreading this cashless society, but they're still going for bitcoins, you see. And this thing with bitcoins, I'm kind of apprehensive, or I don't want to, that would just be the same concept in a different form. And it's even worse, because if this Bitcoin thing, it's all through the internet, online, digital. It's in a digital realm. If the power goes out, if there's no electricity, if you shut that down and everyone has their quote-unquote wealth in this Bitcoin system, then that goes to shit. And then again, by the same token, that's a form of exclusivity. Because I'm pretty sure that in like South America or Africa, third world countries, you have a lot of people who don't have electricity, let alone internet access and computers, and won't have access to bitcoins. So right there, that puts that whole part of the section of the human race, you know, puts them shit out of luck because they can't interact with this. So again, that's another form of control, another form of slavery. So that's why that whole concept of money and exchange something for something, it's still flawed. Now, I know this sounds utopian and people are going to bash it or laugh or whatever, but hey, that laughing and bashing, that's what keeps us in the same thing, in the same problem. Why not? Why not? Why isn't it possible for, you know, that example of a father, a mother, and two children stranded on an island? Would the father collect the bananas and coconuts and whatever fruits are there and charge or sell this food to his family? No, because he's a provider, isn't he? And the mother, which if she finds some kind of, let's say just, you know, hypothetically, there's like some cotton or some materials there that she can make, you know, little pants or some socks or something. Is she going to sell that, you know, to her family? No, she will do what she can to provide for her family, right? So if that's the case with a small family of four on an island, why not the family, the human race, the whole family of the human race, 7 billion on this planet, why does it have to be different? You see? And don't we always hear this argument, do, you know, for your brothers and you know, we're the one family, we need to take care of each other, but yet we have that same mentality. Well, if they can't afford it, if they don't have a job, then hey, they deserve. See, and that's the problem. So things can be very different once we change the mentality, our way of thinking. All right. And so this is why this ties back to helpers. Okay. And helpers, they will need to increase in numbers, obviously, because we can't have, you know, just 20, 30, 40 people somewhere thinking this way and trying to do this. It needs to increase, obviously. All right. Once they have reached a critical mass in numbers and in the amount of people who have learned right and wrong or natural law, that is when helpers on behalf and with the assistance of the people will begin to dismantle the current criminal governments, corporations, and ruling institutions. That's where it starts getting scary, difficult, or that's where a lot of the resistance will be at. Because what I mean by this is, for things to change, right now the corporations and governments, they control the musu, the bullies. All right, they control the military, the police. So that's why anytime you see any We Are Change or Occupy Wall Street or something, you see the elites, the dark occultists, the unfortunate ruling class or the powers that should not be, they stick their pets, they throw out their pets, you know, their animals on the people that want change. So that right there is something that needs to change, and then the people take it. So I see the possibility that this could get and probably would get ugly, and this is the kind of stuff that probably would get me a visit from these corporate freaking dogs, because it is a threat to the current system. All right, if you have helpers, a small group of people that start thinking this way, learning right from wrong, and teaching their communities this, and the community starts following this and learning this and implementing this, and you get the shift in the belief system and this paradigm, and it gets to a, you start getting where from a few hundred to a few thousand helpers and civilian citizens, and the people themselves become helpers, because it is human evolutionary lead persons, emergency response services. If all of humanity, that we're in a state of emergency, it's all of us helping each other. So we all become helpers, okay? But now the thing is, you're going to have the police, military, and government people that probably want to keep whatever power or positions they still have. So that will be the resistance to helpers, all right? But once, I would hope that once the people see that what the helpers are trying to provide is a form of freedom, leading the people to freedom, to a change, to make things better, then the people will start helping and becoming helpers. All right, helping the helpers and becoming helpers. And that right there, that's when the helpers can start going to local police departments, local government offices and buildings, and start doing the people's will. Because once the people learn that extortion, which is taxation, it's a theft, they will want that to stop. So the helpers will go and take these people out of that. Once they learn that politicians, this whole thing of government, local and national government, is a form of slavery, masters and slave, the people will want that to end. And they will go to helpers or with helpers to make that end. So helpers and the people will need to go to these government buildings, government places, and start, to use the legal terms, bringing charges against them or arresting these people on behalf of the people, arresting the criminal elements in these institutions on behalf of the people. And they're not going to want to go quietly. So that's where, either revolution or the defensive use of force might need to come in. We would hope not. Hopefully the people in there will have family and friends that are with helpers, and they will see, wow, what these people are saying is true. This is the truth, all right, that goes into their minds to create a different reality, all right? Hopefully people in government, military, police, politicians could start seeing how their family members, hopefully, start learning natural law and the difference between right and wrong and become part of the helpers, because we're all in this together, right? And so we can approach them, say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. We need to change this. Step down. We need to close this off. This is not serving, doesn't have a positive purpose for humanity. It's not providing positively. We need to change it. And that's part of the seeds that I want to plant with this. All right. So let me see what else I have here. But here's the thing, that the people on their own will not do it. That's why I would suggest we need helpers, people to lead them to that. All right. Let me see. Where did I leave off the notes here? The choice for transformation or shift in consciousness or evolving will be given to all who are in support of the current system. That what I mean by that, if it doesn't make sense, is that option, that choice, it will be given to politicians, police, military, people in law enforcement. Like, look, you can join us, or you're going to start becoming the odd people out, because we're all over here for freedom and change and positive evolution, and you're standing in the way. So what's up? That's what I mean by that. And then if they choose not to, then removal by use of defensive force in the name of ending oppression and slavery may need to be used. I mean, that's common sense, right? If you're doing something wrong, if you have your hand in the fire and you're too ignorant to pull it out for what's better, you're going to get burned. So the lesson will be learned one way or the other. All right. And then if the people want to be rid of the current control system, the helpers and the people are there to help evolve the current system to that which the people deserve and want. Okay, so that's basically what I was saying, that helpers and people will be the ones saying, look, we can do this different. Let's do this differently. We need to go in this different direction, but they need to learn. All right, that's what learning natural law and the difference between right and wrong can entail. All right, one of freedom from controlled oppression. All right, that's basically it. That's what we want, freedom. All right, so wow, okay, so that pretty much covers it. Now, I have a few minutes here. That's good. This is something else I put down here to kind of wrap it up. I'm not the only one who sees this as one possible solution. Here is a recording of Michael Tesserian expressing a similar inclination or idea. All right, I mentioned this before about an interview that Michael Tesserian gave on, I think it was the Santos Bonacci show or something, where he talks about people not being ready, that people on their own will not do this, that they need some form of leader or leadership. All right, so let me play this audio, and then I'm going to come back and just talk real quick about that audio and then summarize what I presented here in this Truth, Mind, Reality series part two. So this could be the end of it. So it's looking good. Anyway, here's the audio of Michael Tesserian, and listen to this. It's a little long, maybe about 8-9 minutes or so, but it's good stuff on here. Okay, so here it is.
And to realize that even the British system of government is a very recent thing. And then to have the bravery to go over and study people whose books are absolutely taboo in our society today. That's where man needs to go. I already know I'm talking to, you know, the air. It's not going to happen. So that's why I go for the libertarian model in the meantime. Never to be doubting that that is merely a placeholder. Because man needs to sit down and really discover how the evils that have come into existence have occurred, both environmentally, politically, and psychologically. He's got to understand these things, and he's very far away from being able to do it. So in the meantime, he needs something that's a placeholder, something that, you know, strips back some of the worst possible aberrations. And if you step into something like I'm describing as a certain constitutional monarchy where you hire an intelligent and good man, just to be a figurehead, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, and I'll tell you why. As much as I've resisted it, down through my years of professional work, I've realized that the infantile masses really do need a leader. It's horrible to say, but you know something? We need the father figure. I don't, but people do. This is the fact. People like a leader, and for thousands upon thousands of years, they had one. The big daddy who just told you everything what to do. And so still, even in modern man, he doesn't feel 100% until he's got some god to worship, some figurehead. You know something? So give him one. A small evil to create a very big good. You have this Johnny. He's intelligent. He's moral. He's a philosopher type, just in the way that Plato described. He doesn't really do anything, but he's a figurehead for all the people to look up to. And then he, or the people themselves, the intelligent ones, the morally good ones, continue to create a government in which is full of the chancellors and executives, and it's run by intelligence. And as I said, you can check for the moral component later on. It's not really the opposite of what we have now, but it runs along some of the similar lines. So what I'm saying is that people don't need to think in radical terms and think hopelessly. And you certainly don't need to think in terms of the globalists telling you what they're offering you, which is communitarianism, which is nothing but tyranny of the masses leading to thorough, the real malignant form in which the master is you. Right? The whole thing turns around and suddenly there's no external master. You've embodied the slave mentality. And which I've talked about time and time again, right? The identification with the object of your hate. You become your own panopticon. This is where we're moving to, and many have warned about it. The governmentality, right? The adultism, the total institution, and finally the complete colonization of your mind by the surveillance society, the Orwellian state, in which you conform willfully. That's the malignant aspect. As I said, as a subset to that, there could be an end of history and a terrible psychedelic predicted by many. I don't take that trivially. But given the fact that we remain sane, given the fact that intelligent people still exist and can sit around and realize, can we dip in? Can we sit down at a place and go through all the literature of the past and bring out from the Sun Tzus and the Lao Tzus and whoever it might be? You know, can we pool together all of the things that look like good ideas of government, and then take the modern ideas from modern geniuses and universities and clever people, the really good moral, you know, minds who exist today, and believe me, they do exist, and try to fuse the old world and the young world, and forget your constitutions and all this other bullshit, because we know that that's been created by the golden ones above, who were desperately needing an answer to how they're going to, herd. Especially in an American context, because it looked like man might free himself at this point. Because what I mean is free himself commercially, and if you free yourself financially and commercially, then you free yourself intellectually. And that's what they were worrying about with the American experiment. They tried to bring in the troops, that didn't work, so they had to find other ways to dumb down the population, and they bloody well succeeded. But it can be turned around. It absolutely can be turned around.
And there you have it, Michael Tesserian. Sounded a little harsh, and But that goes along with what I was saying, doesn't it? He's pushing still to maintain some kind of government, libertarian, but as a placeholder. Because, you know, it can't go from, you know, 0 to 100 instantaneously. You need to, you know, that crawling, walking, running kind of evolution. So, but that final thing that he said there at the end about America, how man appeared to be ready to free himself, but they couldn't have that. That couldn't be allowed to be done. So that's where, you know, money or economics and, you know, buying, selling, you know, that whole thing was put in there to keep man and still enslaved in that kind of mentality. That's pretty interesting, right? So anyway, another thing he mentioned was that humanity needs their leader. See, they need their leader, so give them one. But instead of one leader, I'm talking about helpers, leaders, all right? And he mentioned that around today, there are people around today who know what's going on. They do have morals. They do have a knowing of natural law, right and wrong. Those are the people who need to become helpers and spread that to the rest of the people. So, see, so that's why I wanted to play that clip. Now, that's pretty much it. In summary, for the Truth Mind Reality series, that pretty much embodies it. Because that's the truth of things, how we can incorporate it in our minds and make a different reality. But we know that the opposite of what I pointed out here is what's taken as truth in the majority of the population's minds, and hence the reality that we have, which is not what we really want. All right. So now, in summary, first I started off with the creation of helpers. All right. That's something that needs to be addressed, or we need to plant seeds for that to grow. Some kind of helpers, okay, or Jedis, or, you know, a group of people. Nationally, it needs to start in our communities. All right, so locally, in our communities, cities, states, the nation, but globally. So it's not just something, probably it might need to start here in the U.S. And if the United States, if America's always looked upon as the guiding light, or the leading, you know, for the rest of the world, then maybe this is something that can redeem America from becoming the evil that the rest of the world perceives America, or looks at America as. So it, you know, it starts locally, grows, and becomes something globally. All right, and then teaching of natural law and right and wrong. That's something that helpers would do. Spread the change of money value to provider value. All right, so taking money out of everything, that it's a purpose, doing things because you're providing, all right? It's that you're doing something that provides, okay? The actions, activities you do daily, you don't do it for money. You do it because you want to be part of providing for society, for the, you know, locally, you provide services. If you don't know how to do something, then you help those who have ideas. Those who know how to provide food, you help them. Those who know how to make clothing, you help them. Those who know how to build shelters, you help them. See? And then you learn. And you might find that in one of those areas or some other area, you have a knack for it. And then you start doing your thing as a provider. See? And then we need to shift critical mass in favor of helpers and people. All right? So that means instead of putting all your energy and faith or all your dependency on your government, religions, or corporations that provide the stuff, start taking it away from that, from those institutions, and start putting it back to the people and helpers, that we're the ones that can save ourselves, not an external entity or, you know, something out there that already exists to control us. And then shift the paradigm control from top, which is governments, corporations, banks, and so forth, to the bottom, or the base, which is the people, like what I just said. So that needs to change. Instead of the power being at the top, the power needs to be at the bottom. All right? And then the result could be a shift from destructive global activities to healing and regenerative activities. So once we, if we get to a point where people start doing things to provide, to produce, you know, things for the betterment of humanity and the earth, we stop making, you know, however X amount of cars each year because it's the new model. And, you know, Nissan needs to put out, you know, 50,000 new cars. Or Chevy needs to put out 50,000 new cars. Whether they sell or not, no. They got a quota. They need to manufacture them. So that mentality needs to stop. And then we start healing and rejuvenating or the earth when it's no longer a job, but it's a purpose. We're providing cleaning of the earth when we have people who know of automotive cars and stuff start cleaning out these junkyards, these places where we have cars, auto parts just sitting around polluting. That starts, we begin to take that in and recycle that. We melt down all the rubber, we melt down, you know, the glass, the metal, and start using that, recycling all that instead of just leaving it sit there, because by today's standards all that stuff is there because there's no profit in it. Who's going to pay to clean that? Who's going to pay to clean it? Well, once the who's going to pay for is taken out of it and it becomes, you know what, this is something that's right that needs to be done, and that is how we, you know, this group is going to provide to society to clean the air, to clean the land, to clean the water. We're going to get this stuff out and start doing the right thing. And the same thing with, you know, the a lot of the trash like clothing and furniture that's thrown in the junkyards and stuff. We start cleaning that out. We start, instead of again leaving all that trash out there, all that junk, you know, like I know in where I grew up in the Bronx, that there were a lot of empty lots where just abandoned buildings and buildings that had been torn down and it's just junk all over the place. We need to start cleaning all that up. Responsibility for ourselves and for the earth, providing that. So people who know how to use tractors and all these construction machines, we go in and clean that out. If homes need to be built there, homes will be built there. If we need in the cities, we need places where food can be grown, healthy food. So that's where you start building these gardens. And for people who unfortunately, you know, still eat meat, that maybe that's where you start bringing in, have places where you can have, you know, like cows or pigs or chicken farming in certain areas that are a bit more open, you know. And eventually, you know, hopefully we can evolve to not eating meat and start living off the earth the way it looks like we were intended to. But that's another topic. But you know, little by little, that's the direction that I would suggest that our truth mind reality can take us. Okay, instead of having all this crap around and putting up with it because who's going to pay for it, we start doing the right thing, you know. And that's part of you know, what I wanted to suggest. So I did it in two parts here. I know there's probably a few little things that I missed out, but for the most part, the gist of it, the core is out there. I use these few little audio clips as, you know, references or to help get these ideas across also. And so this pretty much, I guess, for now wraps up Truth Mind Reality series, parts 1 and 2. If there's anything else that I think of or any other inspirations that I get, maybe I'll create a Truth Mind Reality series part 3. But for now, this wraps up this series. It was something short because, like I've said before, this is not something that I am trained for or practice or, you know, that I do all the time. But at least I got this out here now, finally. And future shows, perhaps I'll just come back and do a regular show, Guy Next Door Speaking, and, you know, just tell you, you know, just exchange whatever ideas I might have, movies, concepts, things that are out there. And hopefully I will have a couple of guests for a couple of shows. And, you know, those can be just half hour or 1 hour little shows of just people, just us talking, no, not necessarily an interview, but just other folks who have ideas, concepts, and things that they're doing. And, you know, that can help inspire other people to maybe, quote unquote, become helpers. All right. So that's pretty much it for now. This has been Guy Next Door Speaks, episode number 7, Truth, Mind, Reality Series, part 2. And I'm Ivan from Phoenix, and my website is freeyourmindaz.com. And remember that the Free Your Mind Conference is around the corner. It's just under two months away. So if you're interested, please go to freeyourmindconference.com to see who the speakers are. The schedule is already out, starting, I think it's at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, 2 or 3 o'clock, they start with the first speakers, and it goes through to about 10, 11 o'clock Sunday night. All right. So, taking us out for this episode, I'm going to play a new Elias Clay song off her End of an Era album, and this track is called Ready to Protect. And the lyrics pretty much coincide with a lot of what I was talking about here in this Truth, Mind, Reality series. So sit back, enjoy the song, listen to the lyrics, and if you find the information that I shared in this podcast and all the other episodes, please share it on the social media or send it out, links to the Podomatic to your friends, family, anyone who you think would benefit from listening to this. All right, so here's the a new song by Elias Clay, and until the next time, good afternoon, good morning, or good night, and be well.
I made it through the quicksand, I walked upon the coals. I climbed the highest mountain and I braved the freezing cold. I dove off a clifftop to befriend a school of fish. I lived amongst the sharks and then evolved into this. And when it comes to freedom, it's all out, I insist. And if someone tries to hold me down, then I resist. And if you're down for the resistance, then I'm down for you. And when it comes down to persistence, believe I'm tried and true. My passion is a sure thing, the way the sky is blue. Bless the ones who take it this far, cause they are few. The truth rising up is something you can't refute. A flock of phoenixes on fire and we're coming into view. We're gonna lay some foundations for the up and coming youth. We're gonna wake all nations for the time is overdue. Watch the people take the streets back, cause this is how we do. Hand in hand, come on brothers, it's time to move. Marching on the front line, ready to protect. Crunch time now, everybody on deck. Crazy year, no telling what'll happen next. No fear if we're gonna put the kings in check. When the pawns call checkmate, point of no return. The kingdom isn't free until the day the castle burns. And so I hold my torch high, reaching for the stars. Coming with an army of light, sent by God. We're bringing back the old ways in a new light. Coming back strong to defend our rights. Like a slave by day, superhero at night. Because the Babylon regime's got that grip on tight. Marching on the front line, ready to protect. Crunch time now, everybody on deck. Crazy year, no telling what'll happen next. No fear if we're gonna put the kings in check. The moment's getting closer, we're coming toe to toe. Chatting down the streets, saying let my people go. You will not take our energy, you will not dim our souls. And the children that are born to us are not in your control. And these are not your waterways and this is not your land. And we refuse to bow and move at your command. And we are not your cash cow and we are not in debt. And we are not terrorists, and we are not a threat. We're just the people of this planet, here for peace and respect. For justice and for freedom, and for that we risk our necks. For that we come together when we're bringing out our best. The darkness tries hard, but our light shields deflect. Marching on the front line, ready to protect. Crunch time now, everybody on deck. Crazy year, no telling what'll happen next. No fear if we're gonna put the kings in check. We're going into overtime and eyes on the clock. The bottom of the pyramid is coming for for the top. And like the spreading of a wildfire, we cannot be stopped. The time has come for justice, whether you're prepared or not. It's the dawning of Aquarius, birth of a new era. The veils are being lifted and the people see clearer. The time of turning blind eyes has come to an end. When truth stares you in the face, you really can't pretend. You put it on the table for your family and your friends. There's nothing in the world like everybody joining hands, lifting up their voices, lifting them up high, singing till our prayers reach the sky. Marching on the front line, ready to protect. Crunch time now, everybody on deck. Crazy year, no telling what'll happen next. No fear if we're gonna put the kings in check. Marching on the front line, ready to protect. Crunch time now, everybody on deck. Crazy year, no telling what'll happen next. No fear if we're gonna put the kings in check.
Chodohitika. Being a warrior isn't about taking lives. Being a warrior isn't about showing strength. Being a warrior is not showing how much knowledge you have. Being a warrior is learning how to cry. Learning how to cry, because when a man learns how to cry, he's learning understanding. He's learning how to understand. Because when a man cries, then compassion starts to grow. Being compassionate, loving all children, respecting everybody, and protecting your family.